This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I have to say what I feel. Miami has so much appeal. A great place to get a seafood meal. Miami. Miami, Miami, you've got style.
Picture it, Los Angeles, 2015.
Welcome to Out on the Lanai, the only Golden Girls podcast you will ever need to listen to. I am H. Allen Scott.
And I'm Carrie Doherty.
And this is the podcast where we have a friend over to watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we talk about it.
I just want to say real quick, I feel like my picture at Los Angeles 2015 felt a little depressing.
Do you want to do it again?
The way I just said it. I think I'd like to say it with maybe a little bit more energy.
Say it with a little bit more pizzazz.
I feel like we're recording this. It's the day after Halloween. Yeah. Daylight savings time. I feel like everybody's a little
Did you rage?
I did not rage.
You didn't rage?
No. I did not rage. I did not rage. Did you rage?
I raged.
You raged? You raged on hard?
On candy.
Oh, okay.
Raged on candy.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
I didn't rage. I mean, I was up late, but then...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's raging at our age.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Picture it. Los Angeles, 2015.
And then now I'm going to fast forward.
Fast forward to...
Okay, we're back to where we were. Good. Okay.
We just watched season 3, episode 5, Nothing to Fear But Fear Itself, which aired on October 24th, 1987, and is, of course...
Wow, that's almost 28 years ago exactly. Mm-hmm.
It is. And it's the episode where Rose delivers a eulogy on a plane.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, more than that, it's a show about conquering your fears.
Sure, it's a show about conquering your fears when they manifest themselves into highly unlikely scenarios.
Well, yes, but like comedy.
Sure, but the odds, I mean, the odds of everything happening.
I can't wait to find out your fears and our guest fears.
I want to talk about fears a lot.
We should introduce our guest.
We should introduce him.
He's one of my favorite people.
And I really like his t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. So our guest today is a dear friend of mine. He is such a funny comedian. You guys really need to go check him out. Like, finish listening to the podcast, of course, and then Google him immediately and become his best friend. And if you're in the East Coast area, he's moving to New York City very soon. So if you're ever in New York, you should see him. Guys, please welcome Chris there. Chris. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
I like how we introduced that like the meatball ladies on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Hello.
Like sweaty balls.
Sweaty balls.
Yeah, those girls.
Chris, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for
having me. Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a confidant.
Look at that.
You threw it delightful. Right back
at Sorry, you. It doesn't rhyme.
That's fine.
What's your history with the Golden Girls?
I remember my grandmother watching it when I was younger, and she was not very old. I don't know what I mean by that. I'm just like, she was cool, you know?
Like, she was my age.
Yeah, she was like our age, you know?
She wasn't really my grandma. I just called her grandma.
Yeah.
She was my younger sister.
She was slightly older than me, so I was just like, you're like a grandma.
Yeah.
So she would watch it, and I saw it a little bit then, and then I don't think I've seen it in quite a while.
Everything you remembered?
I had a pretty like loose grasp on the character sort of archetypes as we watched
as
the credits.
Opening credits were rolling.
Yeah.
I was like, she's the old one, she's the horny one.
Yeah.
That's where you stop.
That's where I stopped.
You were like, all right, I'm in this. I get it.
Yeah, I
remember.
It.
It's all coming back to me now, Celine Dion.
You're pretty much like on par. That's
yeah.
the fifth Celine Dion reference this weekend I've had.
Really?
Everyone's talking about Celine Dion this weekend.
Wow. Sunday's just starting. So
I know.
It was mostly Saturday was a heavy Celine
Saturday
day.
Saturday was a heavy. Friday and Saturday were heavy Celine days.
Friday's a big peak.
Last night I did like a half hour thing of Renee is leaving me, but my heart will go on.
Oh, I love it.
Because he's dying.
Is he?
Yeah. He's 108.
Oh, but still, Celine Dion has many more years ahead of her.
Celine Dion live forever.
Do you think that Celine Dion, and Mark Wahlberg, specifically with regard to his character in the movie Fear, would ever have like a punching your own chest off kind of contest to see who could maybe punch it
That's
longer
such a reference.
And with like more like I don't know, like a physical, you know, bravado. Because they both, yeah. like Celine does it with like a, like it's a way for her to like, act, like accent or accentuate a note yeah. that she's singing. But like Mark Wahlberg does it in this like, sort of just like rhythmic, I'm gonna kill you.
I like
you
how you referenced a Mark Wahlberg film that was like his first foray into acting. Like it was like his first sort of like Mark Wahlberg now is an actor in Fear, and like he plays this like killer person, and then 2 years later he does Boogie
you know
Nights
that and, him and Renee or him and Reese Witherspoon, neither one of them can get on a roller coaster without thinking about that one scene that they shot, or if they hear Wild Horses by Rolling Stones or like, the Sundays that covered it for that movie, that's all they think about.
You
the,
really
the
know
the
plastic
scene.
Of Fear.
I know everything about the 90s, you guys.
Is it, well, Fear is a very specific thing about the 90s that I don't think really is a 90s thing.
Did you know that Reese Witherspoon was also in a movie called Freeway
yes,
in the 90s
I know
with Kiefer Sutherland?
That was a great film.
And Brooke
film.
Shields. Guys, this is a podcast about the Golden Girls yes. and Celine
Not
Dion and Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Let's get into the episode.
Picture it. No, okay.
2015.
So the episode opens with our lovely little B story, which is a Sophia cooking story.
A very sweet story, which is always great when Sophia cooks.
I love it when
always
Sophia
great.
Cooks. It's like I always want to get a wooden spoon and dip it in that pot and just sample whatever
dip
she's
it.
Got going
Me
on.
Too.
Dip
it.
Small sample she gave out.
Yeah, very. I was thinking that too, but it was in a competition. So what she was doing was she was making a lasagna. Right, and I think it was lasagna.
She was either way. She was making
well, the
a
dish.
Red sauce
ultimately,
for
it was going to be that mussels marinara.
Yes, exactly. That came later. But this dish, she was sampling it, and it was like a lasagna. And so she takes it out of the oven, and the girls come in. Sophia or Dorothy and Blanche are all like, "What is that smell?" Mm. And then Blanche is all like, "Besides me."
God. She's the horny one.
She's the horny one.
Yeah, I love that because you've got your phone up, and I feel like you've just written down, like, Blanche is the horny one, Sophia's
I mean,
the
really,
old one.
That is something that's on here,
and
for
that's
sure.
your reference that you're looking at.
I'm like, there's the horny one, there's Dorothy, sarcastic and logical.
Logical.
Sophia, the Italian firecracker.
Yay.
And Rose, who is dramatic, anxious, has a weird family, and is naive.
Wow,
that's really good. And
that's
then what
really
did you put for Blanche?
I...
Just the horny one?
Horny, dim-witted southerner.
Oh, dim-witted.
Well, because at the beginning of the episode, there is a dim-witted thing where she kind of has a Rose line where, well, we'll get into it. So so the girls sample, Sophia gives the girls Rose.
There's just the smallest sample.
Very small sample. And
it's so, probably because it was a cold sauce and they were like, please don't put a lot on it. I'm just really going to, I'm not even going to put it in my mouth. Just please don't give me that much.
Oh, I thought it was fresh out of the oven.
No.
Well, I mean.
The actresses
I
were
mean,
like.
I mean, let us
oh,
step
oh,
out
oh,
of
literally,
the.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let us.
Because if you notice.
Let us break that fourth wall and really get
when
into
you
the
watch
nitty-gritty.
The show, it's like less, you know, realism and more like what these women were comfortable doing on screen. It was like a day job for them in a lot of ways. Mm. So like, you know, Dorothy would never wear shoes. Like she hates wearing, and because Bea Arthur doesn't wear shoes, like she hates shoes, or, you know, Bea Arthur doesn't eat food on screen, which I don't even think there was probably, she probably didn't eat anything in that shot maybe. But anyway, so like it was like a day job. I'll do that, but I'm not going to do this. Anyway, so the girls take a sample of Sophia's dish and they're like, it's so good. And Sophia's like, it's crap.
Yeah, Sophia's like, cut the crap. Like, she's like, I've seen that face before. Like, that's not a genuine look. And she goes, what I'm looking for is the look of total instant pleasure. Your father put that look on my face once. Also, she's delivering this line while the copper dick is right over her shoulder.
Yeah.
There's like a copper, it's a dick. We don't know what else it is, but it looks like a dick.
It's
and
a dick.
Every once in a while, you'll find it in different parts of the kitchen.
Yeah.
So she says that, and then Dorothy's like, oh, that's nice, Ma. And Sophia's like, nice. We were married for 52 years. Like, but only put that look on my face once.
Can you imagine?
Oh, I can't imagine.
Can't imagine that look.
But also, I feel like, I mean, it was probably a time where, like, you know, women aren't telling men like what they want and how they
women
want
just
it.
Just kind of
you know
laid
I mean?
There and just like fuck them for 2 seconds and then that was it.
Yeah. Nobody came until like 1967 or something.
Like women,
no woman came.
Oh yeah, no women.
Yeah, men always were coming.
Yeah.
When do you think? Oh, I'm so.
I don't even count. I said nobody because I don't even think of men as people. So I'm just like nobody was coming.
Who do you think was the first woman that ever came?
Oh, that's a great question,
Sophia Loren.
No.
Sophia Loren.
No. I think
before that, I feel like
you know,
I feel like we can maybe go
you know
back
who I
a
think
couple
was,
hundred years
actually,
at least.
Abigail Adams, like John Adams' wife, because they were like in love. So you know he was eating that pussy.
But you don't think like a cave woman was
she probably
like,
came like
bored
oh.
and was like, I'm just gonna diddle myself while I'm no. waiting for my husband to get back with a mastodon.
I think that cave woman slid down a wet rock and was and maybe got a little like that felt good.
She slid down a wet rock.
Like a slimy wet rock.
Ew.
Yeah.
What else is a cave woman going to do to find out she has a little diddle moment?
I don't know. Listeners, if you guys can shed any light on this, who do you think was the first woman that ever came? I hope this is the episode my mom suddenly decides to listen.
Got biblical.
All right, let's move it on.
Yes.
This is
so Sophie or Rose walks in. She's upset. She's crying. She's whatever. And this is where you got the dim-witted thing from Blanche because Blanche says, honey.
Well, first Rose walks in crying and she's like, the mail came.
Yeah. And it's because her aunt died.
Her aunt Gretchen.
And then what does Blanche say?
In Fort Lauderdale. I don't know. I didn't write
Blanche,
it down.
Blanche says something like, oh, it's bad news. And then Dorothy responds, oh, that's uncanny. I had that feeling too. Yeah. Which is, it was obvious that it was bad news. She's upset. She's crying.
Yeah.
That was the dim-witted line. And then we learn that Rose's aunt has died. She was, you know, lived in Fort Lauderdale.
Not close to her.
Not close to her at all. But she's upset because she's the oldest niece, which means she has to give the eulogy.
Yes. Because that's the tradition.
That's the tradition.
That's where the crying comes in.
Yes. It's and that's where the whole A story comes
because
in.
Because Rose says she didn't even like her.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so she was mean. Yeah.
Scary.
She was a mean
And she also
lady.
Says that public speaking is her biggest fear, and that's why she's upset.
Yeah.
That's why she's crying, which is like, I mean, I get it, but it's like kind of a dick thing to be like crying because you're like, my aunt died. And they're like, I'm so sorry. And it's like, well, no, I'm not upset because she died. I have to speak at her fucking funeral. And I hate public speaking.
No, I don't think that's a dick thing.
I think it's kind of a dick thing. I think it's a little disrespectful.
Bitch, you know?
It doesn't matter. It's like...
Even in private with your closest friends?
Yeah, no.
And confidants?
No,
I mean, if she was with her family, you know, I would understand.
I remember when, I'm gonna get real here. But
like, yeah, it's selfish, but, you know, she's also just being honest.
When my grandma passed away, my grandma was like...
You made me feel like a terrible person, Chris.
A bitch. She was a bitch. And my entire family was like, we gotta fucking go to this funeral. We don't want to be there because she was just a royal bitch. She didn't like anybody. So like, why do we have to go out of our way? But we did because we're nice people. Mm-hmm. And just like Rose is a nice person and she is going to give the eulogy.
Oh, yeah. She's
just terrified
it.
About
sure.
it. And she's bitching to her friends about it, which I think is totally okay.
And then in, I think what is my favorite moment in the entire episode, Blanche and Dorothy and Rose are all sitting on the couch in the living room, and Rose is stressing about the fact that she's going to have to speak in public. And Dorothy gives her, I think, what
moment.
Is the number one piece of advice that people are always given, which is to, when they're afraid of public speaking, which is to picture everyone naked.
I never get that.
I feel like that's going to distract you from what you have to say.
Yeah, or you would be like, oh, and now I feel insecure about my body.
Exactly.
I just can't do
like,
it.
Am I naked?
Yeah.
If I'm looking out and I see a child, like, am I a predator suddenly?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a better piece of advice is like, find that blinding light that they've got shining on you if you're on like a stage and just like look out into the bright, shining light.
I just can't do it. Like, I physically, like, if I, like, if I was looking at you, Carrie, I would be like, maybe big nipples? I don't know.
Oh, that's an interesting.
Like, I wouldn't even know where to start looking at you.
Oh, I see.
Or like,
are you
Chris,
saying just
you're like a really you're like an average height like skinny person, which means for me in my history you probably have a really big penis. Like,
I mean,
that's
interesting.
Yeah. So like, I wouldn't be able
to
picture people naked.
Well, yeah, it's I think it's a silly thing. I don't know. I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
I've successfully made everyone on this podcast uncomfortable.
No, it's great.
You just think we all have big parts under our clothes. Big nipples. You got a big dick over here.
Yeah. I'm hidden underneath a lot of fat.
You're wearing a lot of layers.
I am.
You can't
picture me naked.
Shirt.
Legs crossed.
But there's this great moment where she tells her to picture everybody naked.
Yes.
And then silence. And then Blanche looks over at Rose and
she's
kind of like... No, she just looks at Rose and she's kind of like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
And then she looks over at Dorothy and after the perfect amount of time, she just goes, ha, 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 ha.
It's a cackle. It's like a, it's a,
it is,
it's hilarious.
It's amazing.
And then Rose gets into
Rose
it.
Rose gets in on it and starts laughing.
And then Dorothy gets up to walk away because she's offended.
Then we get to see her sweet ass.
They fucking howl at that point. They're when dying. Dorothy gets up, they go, like that. They howl.
I mean, it's really funny. Can you imagine how?
Like hyenas.
I love B. Arthur and I love anyone who has a unique body and owns it, but like, B. Arthur walking away would be ugly. naked. Aww. Don't you think?
I think she's beautiful.
I think she's gorgeous, but like, I do not want to see her flabby ass butt. Tall, I can't even woman, imagine. Flabby.
Part of me pictures like a super ripped. She's like real toned. Really?
Yeah.
She's like buff under.
See, I imagine like hanging skin. Like, I just imagine like very loose sort of body. Because she used to be larger. Like, she used to have a lot of body, you
until
know,
she,
in Maud.
Until she toned,
she did.
Toned
she
it
had,
up.
She had a very, and now, well, she either toned it up or she lost a lot of weight or she, like, had lipo or whatever.
She may not have loose skin, though.
I don't know about that.
I don't think so. I think she would probably look gorgeous. So, this episode had a lot of really long stories at the beginning of it until we get to, like, the meat of the story, which is when they get on the plane, which I think is the best part. So,
yeah.
Then they get into the kitchen, and Sophia is now, she's now decided to make veal parmesan for the contest, and she says that it's such an important meal, it once saved her marriage with Sal. And she said they made it for the two of them. And then she said as Sal bit into it, he started to describe how the meal was like their marriage.
Wait, this is after he left, though, right? They had an argument.
Yeah,
he left.
Yeah, it was the depression. They're newly married, and the marriage was kind of on the rocks.
They had an argument. He left for an hour.
Exactly. She came. She started making this veal parmesan. And
then he came back home.
He came back, and he was like, boner.
Yeah.
That's not what he said.
Not what he said at all.
That's what happened, though, because they had sex.
Right, and that's what led to Dorothy being made.
Dorothy being there.
Conceived.
But the sweet part is when he describes how the veal is like their marriage.
Didn't he say it was like chewy, though? Or like tender? Not tender, sorry, like
She says, the veal is like him. It's tough and stubborn. The tomato sauce is like me, hot and spicy. The mozzarella is like our love. It stretches, but never breaks.
But the veal was, he's saying it, the veal is tough, though.
Yeah.
It's stubborn.
Stubborn.
Well, maybe it's the depression. Maybe they're not getting the best cuts of meat. They're doing what they can.
Maybe he's uncut.
Mm.
I'll get off dicks, guys.
Anyway, then Rose and Blanche come home.
Will you, though?
Then Rose and Blanche come home, and then we get yet another story where Rose talks about where her fear of public speaking came from.
You missed Sophia's punchline on that. So Dorothy is, she feels so like, oh, ma, like I'm the result of a love affair with your husband, a sweet moment. And then Sophia's all like, and I never told him why, he would touch me again or something.
Never eat my veal parmesan
never
again.
Never eat my veal parmesan. If he knew that, like, it was that's the reason why Dorothy.
That almost makes it sound like she trapped him having a baby.
Do what you gotta do.
It was the depression.
Yeah.
It was the depression. It was a great time to procreate and have another mouth to feed.
Yeah.
Well, you could send him off to work in a factory.
Thank you.
That is true, but, like, you don't know when you're gonna come out of that depression. Like, how long you're gonna have to wait till you can send that kid out to work. How many years?
Well, but it's better to make kids work because they're smaller, and then if they die, it's like a way long, short lifespan.
Yeah.
I don't see any upside.
Yeah.
So then Rose and Blanche come home, and then Rose talks about how her fear of public speaking came from the fact that she had to speak at her high school graduation because
she was
valedictorian, which we learned she only got because... she drew the longest straw.
Yeah,
She
was fourth in her class.
Out of 19.
Out of 19. And Dorothy's like, how is that valedictorian? She's like, well, we do it like every other high school. We chose straws. She got the biggest one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stories.
Where is she supposed to be from?
St. Olaf.
And that's
in Minnesota.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And she says that her speech was, it's a great big world out there. You just have to change buses.
In Tyler's Landing.
Yeah, Tyler's Landing.
Great joke.
Yeah, it was
Yeah,
really
Tyler's
good.
Landing also sounds like it would have been a great soap opera.
I was thinking that too.
Tyler's Landing.
Tyler's Landing. What? She's your child.
Sorry. And my sister. Something like that. I don't know. That's just the way those shows go. I've been watching a lot of Jane the Virgin lately.
Tyler's Landing to me sounds like it would be like a revolutionary, like, 80s first gay soap opera.
What? You landed in Tyler? Yes, bitch.
Tyler's Landing, and it's a guy that just pops and goes, I'm Tyler.
I think we just pitched a show to Logo, yeah. Chris.
Oh, the Vaseline on the lens? That was unintentional. But...
Every episode would have an AIDS message.
Guys, we may have to cut this out of the podcast because I think we're on to something.
Yeah.
We better, like, let's register this. Like, let's write up a paragraph, register it with the WGA.
Yeah.
Make sure nobody steals it.
I'm into it. I mean, it was fully my idea, but yeah, if you guys are interested.
You would have never thought of it had we not made you watch this specific episode.
True. Oh, you're right. I'll split it with the writers of Golden Girls.
They're dead.
I think they are not. We just had one on our show.
We had a young one. The rest may be big. Be dead.
No, they're not. Mitchell Hurwitz, Mark Cherry, they're all still very much alive and working.
Okay.
So.
Somebody's trying to make some industry connections with this podcast.
Mitchell Hurwitz, if you're listening.
Full name. Mitch.
If you're listening, Mitch.
Yeah, he goes by Mitch.
I heard your story about how you wrote a Cheers spec when you were young.
He's not listening.
I know, it's fine. So then we start to learn about the other girls' fears.
Yes.
Dorothy is afraid of flying.
Terrified of flying.
Blanche, her fear, this one's very
strange. She passes it off as very, like, nothing. You know, at first she's like, nothing, and then she goes into, she had this dream.
I do have this recurring dream. I'm trapped in an enclosed space full of men.
Yeah.
A bunch of bald men.
Yeah.
And then she tells them that...
Do we know it's bald men at this point?
Yes, she says bald men. Okay. She's trapped in an enclosed space with a bunch of bald men, and that's all she says, which at the time I was like, that's really weird.
Well, it's kind of like... It's like she doesn't really have a fear, which, I mean, in a weird way, she's the anchor for these two women to face their fears at first.
At first.
And then later on, we learn hers is also debilitating.
But then, you know, Dorothy was like, after Rose leaves, she's like, I would hate to have to give a eulogy. And Blanche was like, you know, what if it was my eulogy, Dorothy? What would you say?
While eating a Nutter Butter.
While eating a Nutter Butter. And
almost eating a Nutter Butter.
Yeah, she was somehow like nibbling on a Nutter Butter.
She was almost like the first time you give an infant, like one of those soft cookies and they can only gum it, you know, and they just kind of like put it in their mouth a little bit to get it wet.
I understand people that can just like nibble on a cookie and just like eat it for a while. I'm just like two bites, bye.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a very, I mean, it's the way you eat a cookie on TV, I guess.
Yeah.
Or not eat a cookie because
there's a thing. So Dorothy's all like, you know, I would say she's a great friend.
She goes, I'd say you were a lovely, generous person and one of the best friends I ever had. And Blanche goes, nothing about my looks. She's like, I'd say you were one of the prettiest friends. Prettiest? Like,
one of? That's what it was.
She's I would say you are the prettiest friend. And then, so it's very sweet what Dorothy says.
And then Dorothy asks, what would you say about me?
And she goes, I'd say I always felt safe having you in the house.
And
I say I always enjoyed talking to you when I came home from one of my numerous dates.
And then Dorothy slowly gets up. It's an awesome moment. She gets up.
There's one more. She goes, and I always looked up to you like an older sister.
And Dorothy starts to walk away.
Yeah.
And then she says,
and I'd say you're fat. and then she gives a look back.
Yeah,
also,
it's like a double take.
It's
just to really
so
sink it
boring.
And that's when we see Blanche eating / not eating the Nutter Butter.
She throws it down.
Well, she kind of like, it's like she's biting into it. And as soon as Dorothy says that, her eyes like kind of narrow in on the cookie, which makes them go cross a little bit. And they open really wide. Like, what? Like, I'm eating a cookie.
You crossed your eyes really well there.
It's incredible. Can you not cross your eyes?
No, I was cross-eyed when I was a kid and I had surgery when I was 5 to fix
it. So you probably shouldn't even try.
I can't do it.
He's just looking down.
I'm just looking down.
Yeah,
I think they don't cross that well, though. I don't know.
They're pretty well. You're looking down, so your eyelids are... There you go. And that's great.
Oh, that's great.
That's wonderful.
Oh, that's scary.
That's really great.
Wow, guys. I guess I'm the disabled one here. Oh, you can do it. You can cross one and then move the other.
I love that you channeled Blanche when you said that. When you get excited. Yeah. Oh, that's great. You were just moving one eye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a witch.
This is terrifying. So now they're out on the lanai.
Plug.
Ooh.
plug. And Dorothy's lounging because she's 700 feet.
And her pants are the same exact color as the cushions.
Yes.
She literally looked like you know in Beetlejuice? You know in Beetlejuice, the woman who's cut in half sitting on, yes, on either side of the couch? It just looks, because she's wearing a bright purple sweater and brown pants. She looks like a torso.
It's pretty amazing.
That's just being propped on top of a lounger.
It's also says something about the pants, too. And the color of the chair, because it was like a shiny tan.
I mean, spot on. Yeah. Like, you'd think a wardrobe person would have been like, oh my gosh, do you think maybe we should get another
I think this just goes
her?
Back to, like, you know, this was a day job for these women. Like, I guarantee you, Dorothy was like, we're not going
to
make her change her pants now.
One
pants rule for B.
It's okay. We'll just,
maybe her pants were just made out of, you know, chair material.
The same.
They were like, we don't have pants in water.
Does anybody have eyes on B's pants? We don't have B's pants. We need to make a new pair of pants for B before she comes out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
It was a water repellent pant.
They don't make pants those big. We got to.
Maybe.
Oh man!
So they're out on the lanai, and who's is it? Just Dorothy and Blanche?
No, it's all of them.
Yeah.
Rose.
Well, Rose walks out later.
But Rose wants to practice her eulogy,
yes,
and she starts to do it, and immediately
before we go into
chokes.
That, can we talk about Blanche's outfit? She's wearing some sort of weird, like winged, sweatpants.
It is winged. It's like a sweatpant outfit.
Yeah,
but you're right. It's like
when she moves her arm up, it's all fabric.
It's like it's what you would use if you were going to make an owl costume.
Yeah,
it's a very flowy sweatpants.
Yes.
Like for activewear, it was awfully flowy.
Yeah, and you've been saying, H. Allen, that you think maybe she might have gained a little weight,
but then later on the episode,
put those Nutter Butters
see...
away. Not even a nibble, babe.
Later on in the
she
episode,
she doesn't have to do anything that you want her to do. Chris.
We see her in a black dress, and she has a nice little body. I mean, she's, you know, very tight.
Well, black is slimming. You know,
black is slimming.
Maybe that's why they went to the funeral at all. They're like, you need to write us something where I'm wearing activewear, where I'm showing how I can't eat things. I choose not to eat them.
Oh,
I have a very small sample
much.
Of a meal, and then I wear black at the end.
Yes.
And then to be like, yeah, sure, we'll do all of that for you. But then it's like a big fuck you. They're like, we're also going to write a line where Dorothy calls her fat.
Yeah.
But she's an actress. She'll do it. So Rose starts reciting her speech, and she, you know, clams up midway through. She can't do it. She sits down. She's like, I can't do it. And so then
she begs Blanche
to go with her, with them to the funeral. And Blanche is all like, well, I'll do it if Dorothy does it. And then Rose turns around, and Blanche behind Rose is like,
no, waving her arms
but
wildly.
But Dorothy's stuck because she's a good person, and she's like, I guess if it'll make you okay.
And then Rose marches, she's like, oh, she's so excited that they're going, she feels so much better. And when she walks off, Blanche tells her that even though her Aunt Gretchen lives in Fort Lauderdale, the funeral's in the Bahamas because that's where she used to winter.
Right.
From Fort Lauderdale.
Yes.
Which is a very sunny, warm place.
Which is like an hour
could
north,
a,
not even
could
in
be
Miami.
A joke. I'm just saying, it could be a joke.
A joke that needs more to it.
Yes.
Like,
but I was working on a show recently, and we put a lot of jokes in like that. Or no, not we, but the writers had put in shows like that. I was doing like social media stuff for it. Uh-huh. It was America's Next Weatherman on TBS.
Yes.
And so they would always like give these crazy forecasts where it'd be like 95 degrees with snow or whatever. Just like all the weather that they predicted on that show was like joke weather.
Yeah.
And people would like tweet at our show all the time, like, there's no way, you know? It's like, I think that was the point. Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
It wasn't a great joke, maybe. No offense to the writers of the show. I'd love to run into you guys in the future. But I mean, Mitchell Hurwitz, if you're out there.
I was going
to
say, I was like, now's your time, man. Address Mitchell Hurwitz.
Yeah.
Mark Cherry. Mark Cherry will probably sleep with you.
Oh, Nene Cherry, Eagle Eye Cherry. Whoever's out there, I would love to work with you.
Eagle Eye Cherry's sister, who sang that song.
Nene Cherry.
That's who his sister's name. Great. Great. Same person. She sang that
nice
song.
Try.
Step by step, heart to heart.
I don't know
the 80s.
Song.
Yeah, we can't afford that.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
We'll cut that out.
So
now they're ready. They're leaving for the flight. Oh, no.
No,
I'm sorry.
Before
whatever you guys are even going to say, I would just like to address that when Rose was practicing her speech out on the lanai,
And this is great. You're not even looking at your phone anymore to get their names. Like, you know their names now.
She did a horrible job. They were like, you were doing a great job. She gave like a half sentence of a speech and
she gave like an introductory sentence.
Freaked out. And they were like, oh, you did a great job. Yeah. We'll go with you if you want us to.
You were doing fine.
It was awful.
Yeah. It is also strange pathetic. If she choked the way that she did in front of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, these are your best friends.
Yeah, you're supposed to be able... have room for one more in that grade.
I mean, you were naked in front of each other just two scenes ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, in somebody's mind. But yeah.
So then Rose leaves, Blanche leaves, and Dorothy or Sophia's like, it's really good that you're doing this or whatever. And Sophia then
says... She's like, you know, especially because you're, you know, scared of flying.
It's probably one of those dinkity planes or whatever, those tinker planes that are just, you know, whatever, and that shake the entire way or whatever, and then Dorothy freaks out and grabs onto Ma and goes, don't make me go!
Yeah, don't let them take me, Ma!
Yeah. It was cute. It was cute.
And then we have a scene which I really didn't think that we needed it.
In the living room?
Yeah, in the living room. I mean, there was a really funny Blanche joke in the scene, but basically the point of the scene was for Dorothy to try to get out of getting on the plane.
Yeah, it was kind of unnecessary.
We already understand that she's afraid of flying, but there is a funny part where Blanche and Rose are like packing their stuff up or getting ready to leave, and Blanche is like, oh, you know, I heard that the weather's going to be nice in the Bahamas. Maybe we can get some sun, get a tan. And Rose is like, Aunt Gretchen always liked the sun. And Blanche is like, well, maybe it'll be an open casket. So, which, like, between Blanche and Dorothy, they make a lot of insensitive jokes about her dead aunt.
Yeah. There's a great, the response to that is Rose makes this great, it's all her eyes, but she's, like, processing the implications of that joke, sort of. She's very conflicted. There's, like, a whole range of emotions that she went through with just her eyes. It was really great.
Yeah. It's always, like, whenever somebody tells a joke like that, where it's like a little bit of a thinker for Rose, it always looks like she's doing a math problem in her head for a second.
It's like she lets the audience sit with it by pretending to process it.
Which is great. Cool. They do that a lot on the show, which is, it just, you know, shows how great the actresses are. So then Dorothy comes out and she's like, oh, girls, I'm not going to be able to go. Ma. She's sick. I have to take her to the hospital.
And they're like, well, she just went to that cooking contest. She seemed to be pretty okay.
Yeah, she called us from the cooking contest and she ate a bad cannoli. I have to go pick her up.
And then she walks into the front door.
And she's making the best comeback since Dennis Hopper. That's what she said.
Yeah.
What was the Dennis, I guess Dennis Hopper had just been in Blue Velvet, which is the David Lynch film. So I guess he hadn't done much prior. Blue Velvet wasn't he in Blue Velvet?
He was in Blue Velvet, but I was thinking, I guess 86. Okay.
Yeah, so he probably had a big comeback because since Easy Rider, he really hadn't been doing anything. Yeah. And then he had a lull, and then he came back with Speed.
He was really good on Speed.
He was really good.
Don't get her started on the 90s again, please.
Yeah, please. We need to move on from Fear.
So Sophia comes home because she forgot her wine, whatever. Dorothy's got to go. Great.
Yeah.
We're on the plane.
Yeah.
This was where I thought there were a lot of really fun moments.
Mm-hmm. Can we also talk about how easy it was to just get a flight on a
last minute flight. There was no talk of cost. There was no talk. It was just very like, maybe it's a commuter plane. Maybe it's one of those.
That like
it is
leaves
Bahamas.
Every 30 minutes.
Yeah. So like there's probably something
like
that.
Are there a lot of people commuting from Fort Lauderdale to the Bahamas for work?
Well, as we see in this scene, there actually are. There was only one empty seat on the plane.
There's probably lots of conventions
those seats,
and
by the
stuff.
Way, were three times as wide as
that's the other thing, too.
Seat.
They have like the nicest seats on the whole plane.
Yeah. Well, it was 1987.
Yeah.
But there are lots of flights between the islands and, you know, that whole Florida region, Cuba.
Oh, look who knows about the islands now.
I mean, I'm just saying, I've been to Florida before. I know a thing or two.
Ooh, brag much? Okay.
So one of my favorite, the greatest thing that happens is that Dorothy gets drunk on this plane.
Yeah, she gets drunk.
She gets drunk and she gets fucking silly.
Yeah, she gets drunk on two
sips of champagne.
Small glasses of champagne.
Maybe she didn't eat anything.
Maybe.
Oh, all she had was that sample the day before.
Yeah.
So Dorothy's like stressed out. She's clutching Blanche's arm. And I love this is like such the... It's like a fear, something that I feel like a lot of people who are afraid of flying, like these are the things that they actually believe and rationalize in their brains and believe to be true, which is when Blanche offers her some champagne, Dorothy goes, I can't drink it. I'll drink it, then I'll probably burp, and the pressure in the cabin will change, and we'll fly into a mountain, which I feel like people who are terrified of flying believe that.
Yeah.
Like, some people actually believe that by focusing on keeping the plane in the air, like, that's their job throughout the duration of the flight.
Right.
It's just to focus on keeping it in the air. That's their job, and they will...
What are you guys afraid of?
I've been wanting to ask this.
Oh, man. Mm. I feel like, again, this is me being superstitious. I feel like if I tell you what I'm afraid of, I will die that way. And then people will play.
It's on record.
It's on record. Yeah. And then people will be like, listen to this haunting episode of this podcast where a young, poor comedian predicted her own death.
That would be great for your...
For you.
For me.
I am terrified of drowning.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
I am afraid of the ocean in so much as I don't swim in it. I'll go, up to my knees, but I'm afraid of, currents and also sea monsters, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm afraid of heights as far... I can get in a plane, that's fine, but... Basically, and
but
again,
not if it's flying.
What's that? Oh yeah, but only when it's grounded.
Yeah, if it's grounded, you're cool.
But yeah, if it's up in the air, no, thank you. That's not the type of plane experience.
If it's a seaplane, also fuck no.
Yeah,
Two greatest fears.
Two greatest fears. But and again, this is an irrational thing that I think a lot of people who have a fear of heights feel. But I remember my friends used to have rooftop parties in Brooklyn for the 4th of July, and if I'm on a rooftop. Even if I'm sitting in the direct center of that roof, I will picture myself just running off of it.
Yeah.
And it gives me this physical feeling of anxiety and panic, and I just don't feel well. So I can't be in those types of situations.
Have you tried picturing the roof with its clothes off?
I haven't, but that's a really great suggestion.
I'm very superstitious.
You could have dropped the mic and just left there. But
bye, guys.
I feel like we've got at least a couple more gems.
Yeah, I've done my part. Yeah.
I won't write in red. I refuse to. If there's anyone hands me a red pen, I just will not write in it. I'm very superstitious in that way.
Wait, that's a superstition.
I know, but what's your fear? It does make me scared. My fear... I was thinking about it.
Is that somebody's going to judge your life the way the teachers used to judge your papers?
No. Okay. I was a very good student, Carrie. Thank you.
Wow. Who's judging?
No, bridges. I fear bridges. I don't like going over bridges. They make me really uncomfortable.
What about Jeff Bridges?
Jeff Bridges, I have a hots for.
I
would
never
attractive.
Cross Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, he's you never know.
See, what did I say?
So bridges I don't like. I also, and this is weird, I really, really despise, and it's not so much, a fear. I guess it's a fear. It's anxiety, which I guess stems from fear, is talking on the phone. I have such a problem talking on the phone. I sweat so much. Even if it's a casual conversation, I sweat so much talking on the phone. I can't do it. It's very hard. I'd rather FaceTime or text or whatever, but it's a fear. I can't, there's so much anxiety going into a phone conversation.
I love talking
me.
On the phone.
Really?
To people that I want to talk to.
I mean, even people I want to talk to, it takes me a lot to have a phone conversation.
Oh, I call people, I have hour-long conversations multiple times a week.
Probably. Really? Wow. Yeah. I can't do that. That's really hard for me.
I love it.
Chris, what are you afraid of?
I'm trying to think of what I really am afraid of.
Golden Girls podcast.
I love Golden Girls podcast, so that's definitely not it. There's the horny one. It keeps me grounded. Not really the ocean, but kind of a little bit, you know, it is scary.
Billy Ocean.
Okay. Yeah. I'm
Frank
I'm not
ocean.
Getting in
I
that
don't get
car.
The scary part of the ocean.
Fuck you. I'm not getting in your car.
Yeah, cause then he'll end up in your dreams, just like Freddy Krueger.
Get out of my dreams and into my car.
Right. I'm sorry, but are those not the lyrics? Are those not the lyrics of a kidnapper? Get
Absolutely.
Out of my dreams and into my car. That's a kidnapper with he's basically
I saw you. I've been fantasizing about you. Mm-hmm. And now I'm making that fantasy reality,
yes.
Whether you like it or not.
He says the words, get into my car.
Also, get out of my dreams is threatening as well. It's I didn't even know I was in your dreams.
Exactly.
And now you're here with your Acura.
Turn that around on yourself.
Acura.
You're here with your shitty Acura. You think I'm going to get in that thing?
Yeah.
Your coupe?
Yeah, I don't get the fear of the
Fuck
ocean.
Fuck you, Billy.
I guess that you can drown. Drowning's a real fear.
Are you afraid of...
you can't see stuff. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I get that.
It's not a huge fear, but I'm just it creeps me out. Mm-hmm. I'll stay in it, but I'll start screaming, mm-hmm. In a fun way maybe not the people I'm with.
I used to tell people I was afraid of getting kidnapped, but really, really, I just wanted to get kidnapped for the celebrity aspect of it. Mm-hmm. People would be like, oh my God, this guy had so much potential, is kidnapped.
It's a great thing. Yeah. Most famous people were kidnapped. If you've noticed, it's really a lasting form of celebrity. So I hope that works out for you at some point.
Guys, this is terrible. This conversation has gone to a place that's making me feel very uncomfortable.
No, I am afraid of getting murdered.
Well, sure.
I mean,
like living alone. No, I know
boring.
what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid. So I live alone and I love living alone.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
I have a feeling that I will probably live alone for a long time, but I do fear like choking on something
like
in
my
apartment alone. I don't need, no. You choke on a grape?
Yeah, if you don't chew it.
It's so like filled with water though. Like,
you can still choke on a grape.
I suppose. I did once. I was eating a piece of like steak and I swallowed
it.
It's
the worst thing to choke
and,
on.
Yeah, and I felt like a choking thing.
Yeah.
And I got really afraid thinking like, oh my God, what if I died?
Mm-hmm. Do you know how to do the self Heimlich where you throw yourself over a chair?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah. Great.
But
did you learn because you were afraid of this?
Yes, and I had to do it. No, I didn't. But I do worry about dying alone in my apartment and no one finding me for a couple days and then my cat eating my face.
My suggestion?
Yeah.
Get a Vitamix.
I have a ninja.
Just drink everything. Just eat every meal through
a
straw.
Well, you know, hopefully, Santa, hopefully, you know what I mean? Hopefully you've been good this year and you can bump it up to Vitamix.
Jewish.
I see.
Okay, back to
no Santa.
The
no Santa.
No, we have Rabbi.
They are.
Babadook. The Babadook comes.
So the Rabbi Duck plane. Comes. And,
I never said what I was.
And they're drunk. Dorothy's drunk, and
Dorothy. So Dorothy chugs two very shallow plastic glasses of champagne.
I'm afraid of being a failure. I didn't get to really mention. That's all. But we should continue. We should move it along. Let's not linger on that.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh God. So Dorothy is now drunk and making cracking insensitive jokes. Yeah. So
are they really more insensitive than some of the other jokes we heard in this episode when she was sober?
I don't think they're really insensitive.
I don't either.
I mean, yeah.
But you did comment on the insensitivity of numerous jokes throughout this episode, like not in her time of need.
Yeah, I know. You're very sensitive
right now.
But she doesn't care about her aunt. She didn't like her. She was mean.
I know, but still, they should be like, they shouldn't be cracking jokes. It's like,
I don't know. They're friends.
I don't really know how you're having suspension of disbelief issues with the Golden Girls.
Why?
That's what it's all about.
I do say that I have no suspension
of
disbelief.
You take it literally,
but then I do feel empathy for a dead woman who's not even real amongst characters that are also fictional.
Right.
But there was a joke where, so Rose decides to get up and talk at the, they call her like the flight hostess.
Yeah.
Which in the 80s they would have referred to as a stewardess, which we now call flight attendants.
Yeah.
But the flight attendant, Candy, played by Meg Wiley.
Who's been on other episodes, right? I feel like she has.
You know what? She was. She played. Wait a second. She was on 4 episodes of The Golden Girls.
Yeah, she's been. She's one of the regular.
Oh, that's
recurring.
Right. She played Myra in an episode.
Uh-huh.
So she played Millicent Kennedy in Motherlode, Myra, and There Goes the Bride Part 2, which is she's the wife of the woman of the man that Rose is dating. Who's mean. She played Edna in Blanche's Little Girl, and she played the flight hostess in Nothing to Fear.
She's been all over the place.
4 episodes. Yeah.
Is this the only episode where her age is a joke?
Oh.
People were laughing, I felt like.
Were they laughing at her age?
Yes, because she said that her name was Candy.
Oh, I see.
And she's like very clearly a woman in like her 50s.
So she was like born in 1931. I think she's a woman in her 60s.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's probably a woman in her 60s.
And
her name is Candy.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, why they were laughing.
That's funny. I didn't get that.
So then Rose gets up and she's... So I guess first what happens is... So Rose is talking about, I don't know, this is the joke though that I got upset at. So Rose is talking about her Aunt Gretchen and she says she was an especially rigid person.
Yeah.
And Dorothy goes, especially now. And
I mean, that's funny.
Is wasted.
That's really funny.
Hey, that's how Mitch Hurwitz is making a living, you know?
Yeah.
He wasn't on the show yet.
Damn it.
So.
Christopher Lloyd.
Yes, this episode was actually, I believe, written by Christopher Lloyd
but
and
not
Susan
that
Harris,
Lloyd.
But not that Christopher
that
Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd, come on, guys. Yeah. You've been listening to this podcast long enough.
But also, at this point, Chris, you'd noticed, you mentioned something about the hat budget in this scene.
Yeah, I said, they must, you know, hat budget
all
must
the
be
men
awfully
were wearing
high
hats.
For those extras back there.
Yeah.
You can only see the tops of their heads at first.
But
and
you
it was
know that
all
it's
hats.
A set up for a joke coming in a moment.
But there's like a beret, we got multiple fedoras back there.
Oh, yeah, there's like a cabbie hat.
I love
love like, a good hat. I love everything. A good hat. I hate all, even a bad hat.
Yeah.
I don't like any hats. You don't really. Like any
hats. Really, I love hats. I can wear hats all the time.
This is another podcast.
Yeah, sorry. No. So then they...
All the men, all of a sudden Blanche notices all these men at once, for whatever reason, all decide to take off their hats at the same time for flying. Who knows? And Blanche suddenly notices they're all bald, and she freaks out.
Yes. And she says that her recurring dream, there was a part of it that she left out, that she was in an enclosed space with a bunch of bald men, and that they were on a plane that then crashes into the ocean.
Yes, which, again...
Or mountain, or whatever.
What are the odds?
What are the odds of a mountain being between Miami and the Bahamas? Because didn't she say mountain? She said mountain.
Yeah, she did say mountain at
one point.
There's
no mountain there.
There's no mountain.
I don't remember.
A lot of water.
And then the hostess comes back out, and she's like...
Have anyone seen a bolt, a big bolt?
This, she performed like... I mean, nobody would do it this way, but she's like, fasten your seatbelts, we're ready to take off. And if anybody finds a large bolt, please return it to me. It came off the beverage cart.
Yeah, that's it.
The beverage cart. And I'm just like, where did you go to school for lying as a flight attendant? And actually...
It's like that SNL. What was that SNL character that was like, that's my story. Yeah.
It was like, I don't remember that.
It was like John Lovitz was like always lying about stuff.
Oh, the office worker guy.
Yeah. He was like, I definitely
did
that.
That's how he got the part in Big. Because he played basically the same guy.
Mm. Yeah. John Lovitz in Big?
He was in The Office in Big. He was like a early... Oh. Yeah.
He also, greatest guest star on an episode of Friends is John Lovitz as a high restaurant owner.
Here we are, back in the 90s.
Yeah. Back in the 90s. But here's the thing. As a flight attendant, my old roommate was a flight attendant. I feel like I've talked about this in the podcast before. As a flight attendant, in the face of any kind of emergency, you always have to keep the passengers calm by lying to them, because the worst place that you can cause mass panic is on an airplane.
Yeah.
So like that's like when... Like somebody, we were once on a flight where somebody was having a heart attack and nobody else in coach knew it was happening in like a first class bathroom. And it's because like the flight attendants are walking around smiles and whatever. And they were like, grabbed a thing of blankets out of the thing above our head. We were in the very back of the plane. They're bringing it back up to the front. And she was like, that's a defibrillator that they have under there. And they're going, hey, would you like a blanket? Would you like a blanket? And she was like, they're just, you know, that's them like trying to remain calm. So like Candy's a terrible flight attendant as
well. Well, yeah, she's a flight attendant on the Golden Girls, and she's also like 108.
Well, also it's like how much practice does she have if she's, you know, on this shuttle flight from Florida to the Bahamas?
Yeah, she's probably like a Southwest flight attendant. No offense.
Hey, no offense. Like, they fly cross country. Come on. They fly in Mexico even.
They do. They do fly international now. Yeah.
Which brings us to our sponsor today, Southwest Airlines.
Southwest Airlines. But Rose, the thing that's interesting to me, Rose is incredibly calm throughout this entire situation.
Yeah.
And
weirdly so.
Yeah. She's very, very
calm.
Whereas
the girls are just very upset. Kind of,
yeah.
They even cut to after that.
So then, we cut to like a little bit later in the flight.
They're sitting there so still. And then Rose talks. And then Dorothy says, we agreed, don't talk. It shakes the plane.
And she's talking like out of the corner of her mouth. Yeah. Like they're not, she's not even moving
it's
her
like
head.
The thing you were saying earlier. Like if I just think about the plane not crashing, then,
And then you have Blanche who's like still terrified. And she's like, we're going to die today on this plane. And, and they're all kind of talking about like, they're all talking like they're about to die. And which I was saying, like in a post 9/11 world, I feel like anytime you're talking very loudly on a plane about the fact that you're going to die on that plane, like they would probably ground your plane.
Probably.
Yeah.
They're very sensitive up there nowadays.
Yeah.
They're very sensitive.
So anyway, so they're
I think the air is too PC now.
I can't wait till we get back to the days of old comedy in the air.
So then Blanche says that one thing that she didn't mention, or maybe Dorothy's like, Blanche is freaking out because of her dream, and Dorothy's like, well, remember, in your dream, you said that you heard the voice of God. That's the one thing you haven't heard.
Oh, no.
Then the captain comes on, and he was like, hello, everybody. This is Captain Lord. Hardy fucking her, guys.
I mean,
no offense, Mitch, but, like, come on.
He wasn't on the show yet. I actually thought that was funny because they were probably like, oh, his name can't be Captain God.
Right.
Like,
no,
could it be Captain Father? No, that might be weird. Like, Captain Lord, that's a funny way to do it.
Yes.
Or Jesus.
Oh, yeah, Captain Jesus.
Oh, that wasn't a thing then.
No. They weren't in this country then.
No. They weren't flying up from the Bahamas.
No.
So, but the captain says that they're flying into a tropical storm, so they're going to have to turn the plane around and go back to Miami, which... They can detect the weather. I don't understand. Like, that shouldn't be a thing that
that's
happens.
Happened. Not the tropical storm part, but I've had a plane grounded because of a storm. I was flying once from Texas in an also rinkety plane to Missouri, and there was a massive storm that was coming through, like, Tennessee or something, and we had to ground the plane. Like, it was like, and even though they foresaw it coming, things change very quickly.
Okay. Are you getting emotional over there?
So, Chris, you worked on a show about weathermen. Do things change very quickly weather-wise?
I'm not going to, you know, negate Alan's lived experience.
Let me ask you a question about George Clooney. Do you think...
Are we back in the 90s?
Yes.
No, we're not. It's fine. Just know that the answer is yes, she wanted to.
He's going to take my side. We're the friends.
So... Okay, so they're going to be turned around. Yes. So they decide Rose should get up and deliver her speech in front of everybody on the plane because mm-hmm. she'll be able to hopefully conquer her fear.
Yeah.
And she gets up on...
Whose idea was that?
That was Blanche's. She's like, do it now. Do it now. You go do it now. She's and then Rose gets up and she takes the mic and she's like, I was on my way to the Bahamas to speak at a funeral, but now I won't be able to. So if you don't mind, I'd like to do it here.
No applause. No applause.
Oh, yeah. Nobody. Well, it might be insensitive to applaud. I feel like there should have been a few nods of like.
Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
I feel like
yeah.
the guys sure, turned around and they were like, what the fuck?
Oh, that was the other thing. All men on the plane. Yeah. Except for them.
Yeah. Sausage
I mean, they're
body.
All bald. We talked about that, but like.
They're going to a row game. Yeah. Convention.
No, Mr.
We
well,
actually we, talked about it. Comes up it comes where they're up. Actually what they're why they're
oh,
bald where they're
yeah,
gone.
I wasn't paying
there's,
attention.
Yeah, there's a reason. So it, that, but yeah. what, before that, Rose gives her speech about how you know her aunt
great
would
guess,
do would do would scare things would scare her. She'd jump out of the closet. She would you know whatever do
wear
things
fangs.
To scare her. You wear fangs.
Howl at the moon.
That to me sounds like a nice woman that they're
no,
saying
that
some
is not
terrible
a nice
things
woman.
About her.
How does that to sound like a nice woman?
We'll
she jumps
talking.
Out of the closet and. Scares a child? No. But she says eventually she gets to a point where her head can be calm and says that maybe she was doing that to make her conquer her fears. Maybe she was doing it to get over these fears, whatever, these adult fears. Mm-hmm. And
Stockholm Syndrome.
And say, yes.
I was jumping out of a closet to scare the crap out of you so you'd get over your fear of having someone jump out of the closet and scream in your face.
Yeah, ridiculous. But she finishes the speech and she has it's a whole moment of mm-hmm. applause and it's beautiful, whatever. And she talks about how, you know, needing her friends to get through fears and it's a kumbaya
also,
moment.
It takes a really long time for Candy to realize that she's on.
I like, know.
I mean, it's like she's clearly an
Candy
episode.
Doesn't.
Like, is it really that long of a time?
I mean, it is. And this is a small plane. It's not like Candy was like up in first class and nobody,
also,
like she wasn't aware of the fact that somebody else
that
was talking on the megaphone.
She's preoccupied
I mean,
with plugging that bolt back
oh,
in.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she's plugging the bolt yeah. back
maybe
in.
Maybe she was like listening to her Walkman.
The
or
pilot could probably
you know?
Cut the mic. Like the pilot could probably interrupt and just be like, hey, sit the fuck down, lady.
Maybe,
hey, Captain Lord's got a lot on his plate.
He's got
true.
A lot
he's
on
trying
his
to get out of the eye of the
storm. He's like writing his joke down.
He's writing, he has a joke that's coming up. So Rose gets the applause. She sits down.
Candy comes out and goes, you're not allowed to be up here. This is the Copacabana.
And
which,
then Captain Lord gets on and says, if you look to the left side of
if
your
you
plane.
If you all look out the left side.
If you all look out the left side. And then they all do. He goes, we'll tip over. That's a little polite humor.
Yeah. Small plane joke.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
So anyway, the women come home
Sophia's
now.
Sophia's there reading
Sophia's
a magazine
there, and she's like,
in
oh,
her
what are you guys doing back so early? Would have loved it if she
Isn't
had
she,
a man
she was like,
over.
What the hell are you doing home?
Yeah. It just would have been nice if Sophia was like mid-coitus with that gardener.
Or like
that guy.
Vibrator just roaring, plugged into the wall, magic wand.
I feel uncomfortable.
He doesn't like it when you're making him. You won't, if you keep up with this, he won't invite you back.
She's got like headphones on, like jackhammer headphones on. Oh, what are you doing, spaghetti sauce everywhere. Okay,
oh,
let's
God.
Just go
oh,
on
no.
with this.
Why keep going?
Oh,
it's
God.
Funny. Oh, man. So she gets home and then...
She's like mixing a spaghetti sauce with a magic wand. Okay, go ahead. You know you can put a mixer attachment on that thing?
It just and she just puts the dildo in.
Well,
and
the magic wand does actually kind of look like those hand mixers.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I know a thing or two.
Oh, that's funny.
I know about cooking and other stuff.
Oh, you know man. About cooking and
I would love to
massagers.
See you cook with a dildo. Like try to like mash potatoes with a dildo.
there, I'm starting a web series. You've heard it here first. I'm like going to try to cook with sex toys.
What's it going to be called?
I'm working on the title.
Cocks in the Kitchen.
I'm getting notes.
What'd you say?
I said Cocks in the Kitchen.
Cocks. Oh, that's
too. You can't put that on YouTube.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
And also it's like, but it's about like, are there really going to be other cocks in there?
Just the one.
Too many cocks.
Too many cocks in
too
the kitchen.
Too many cocks.
Oh, but
too
plug many your way to a shepherd's pie.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know.
Where
guys,
go?
We're on home
okay.
stretch.
She gets home. The girls get home.
Stretch?
Sophia's like, what are you doing home? So Dorothy says, oh, there was tropical storm, whatever. But tell us about the competition. And so Sophia...
She says that she was going head-to-head against yeah. Al Capone's piano
head?
Teacher, who is 103 years old. And then it was tied. They yes. went into sudden death. By sudden death, she means that Louise, the woman, died.
Yeah.
Her funeral's on Saturday. And then Rose, I actually hate this as a button to the end of the episode.
I didn't yeah. like the end at
Rose,
all.
Yeah. She says, her funeral's on Sunday. And Rose goes, that's terrible. And Sophia goes, you think that's bad? Guess who I volunteered to give the eulogy?
Yeah.
And then there's like this just, I mean, way too much time is spent of like Rose going, oh. And then, like, Blanche and the other girls going, like, bah, Jesus, I'm kidding. Bah. And Rose being like, you guys.
Yeah, like, it was a very lackluster ending to the episode.
Was,
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they all can't be great, right? I mean,
no.
Yeah.
They tied the A and the B.
They did tie that A to the B.
Yeah.
That's our episode.
That was our episode.
That was it, guys.
That
we
was
did,
great.
It.
Did it.
So, Chris, at the end of every podcast, we do a golden takeaway. It's a nugget of truth or inspiration that you can apply to your life or the lives of our listeners. Mm-hmm. I will start so you have, you know, an idea of what to do.
Great.
My golden takeaway is to make lasagna. I've never made lasagna before, and I feel like maybe I could make a good lasagna.
I feel like you would.
Yeah, I feel like I would do very well at that. So my golden takeaway is that I'm going to make a lasagna, and I will, if you are in town, because I know you're leaving soon, mm-hmm. you can come over and you can eat my lasagna, and that's not a sexual reference.
Sure.
Yeah. Carrie?
My golden takeaway...
is radio silence.
Is radio silence. I think my golden takeaway is... I have so many things that... So many ideas that I had. I think if you are afraid of flying as Dorothy was, you know what? Sometimes it does help to like pop like a Xanax or have some champagne to kind of relax you or yeah. like stay up the whole night before so that you know you're going to sleep on the plane. Like that's just like go with it. Do it. Do it too.
I do that before.
But do it responsibly.
Before most activities in my life. Like anything anxiety, I have to take an Ativan before I leave the house.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my takeaway.
Nice.
My golden takeaway is that there's nothing wrong with dressing in the exact same color as furniture that you own. It might seem a little bit embarrassing, but ultimately it's a conversation piece. I mean, we talked about it for quite a while mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
So, you know, think about it.
Live your truth.
Live your truth.
Yeah. Chris.
Live Dorothy's truth.
You are a fantastic gem of a human being.
It's true.
And I'm so glad that this worked out and that you are here. And I'm sure our listeners love you just as much as we do.
Look out for my web series, you know.
Good. Too many cocks in the kitchen.
Dildo. Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
And where can people follow you on the interwebs? Because now they definitely want to after this podcast.
Okay. This is ChrisTheAir.com. I have tour dates and shows and stuff on there. Twitter, I'm ChrisTheAirSays. And on Instagram, I'm WoompTheAirItIs.
That's amazing. I am very impressed by that.
That is really great. I am H. Allen Scott. You can follow me at H. Allen Scott on everything.
And I'm CarrieDoherty.com or SquidEatSquid on Twitter or Squidzy on Instagram. Hashtag great at branding, as always. And don't forget that you guys can follow the podcast at OutOnTheLanai.com. That's where you can go for everything. You can also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/GoldenGirlsPodcast. We're also on Tumblr. And guys, I want to ask for a favor this week. If you guys can do me one favor, just one favor, tell a friend about the podcast. Tell one friend Tell them, tag them in Facebook, maybe text them, email them.
Tag us too when you do it.
And or just like do it the old fashioned way by word of mouth, because we love that the audience that we have here, we really want to grow it even more. And so if you guys know someone that likes the Golden Girls, you think they'll like the podcast, like just tell a person. And I feel like that's going to be always a great way for us to build our community more.
It's always surprising. Last night I was at a Halloween party and some guy saw my tattoo and he was just shocked that there was a Golden Girls podcast out there. So like, you know, word of mouth, guys, we have to keep it going. You can also go to outonthelanai.com/discuss and look for today's episode, Nothing to Fear But Fear Itself, and leave your questions and comments. And you can also donate, because we love your support, at outonthelanai.com/donate. And thanks to Spreaker for all their free hosting services.
Yeah,
so
they're great.
Amazing. And finally, thanks to HeadGum, which is, you know, all our podcasts are on HeadGum right now. You can just go to HeadGum.com and check out all kinds of other great podcasts that are there. And Jake and Amir are just the sweetest, most kindest, most handsomest guys ever in the world.
God, get a room with your thoughts already.
And guys, remember, stay golden.
Yeah, stay golden, you guys. Why didn't you fucking tell me that was the slogan to say at the end? Have a great day, everyone.
That was a HeadGum podcast.